This section of my commentary concerns Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through the end of the book, verse 18. Verse 11 says, "See what large letters I use as I write with my own hands." This has been one particular verse that a lot of people have speculated over. This is one verse for the reason why many people believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh or problem was an eye problem, a vision problem, because he says right here he uses large letters. We spoke about this in chapter 4, so I won't elaborate too much, but we do have to note that Paul wrote this with large letters. Now, there is some discrepancy whether he wrote the whole book or just this concluding portion of the book. A great number of scholars do believe that Paul only wrote these last few verses in large letters, and he probably dictated the rest. It's somewhat speculative, but at least we do know he wrote this last section. Some scholars actually believe because he was stoned, he had hand problems and therefore couldn't write too well. Again, that's speculation. Verse 12. "Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to command you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ." See, Paul is talking about false teachers, and these false teachers have claimed that you get saved through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, but to maintain your salvation, you must be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. Paul says the only reason why they're doing this and teaching this is to avoid being persecuted as he is being persecuted for the cross of Christ. You can understand Paul's reasoning here. See, if you believed in Jesus plus the law, then there's no reason for the Jews, the non-Christian Jews, to persecute you because you are not going against the law of Moses. Paul is teaching that the law of Moses has been laid aside, and thus he is being persecuted. He teaches that there's no more significance to the law of Moses concerning getting saved or staying saved. It's all because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that reason, he's being persecuted, and the false teachers don't make that claim, and therefore there's no reason to be persecuted. And Paul says that's why they're making their claim in the first place. We did see earlier that Paul had another reason why these false teachers were making the claim, and that was to gain a following. Now, we have to realize these false teachers did believe that you got saved by faith in Jesus, but to maintain the salvation, you had to do works of the law. And Paul would consider that another gospel. We really need to think about that as evangelicals. Verse 13. "Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh." That they may boast about your flesh suggests a following. If the false teachers can get these Gentile Christians circumcised, then they can boast that they have succeeded in preaching their gospel. And of course, Paul is not concerned that in the least for himself, but these false teachers are. And of course, the false teachers can't even obey the law of Moses in its totality, and neither did the Jews throughout the centuries. Again, Paul is making a point here. It's impossible to obey all 613 rules in the law of Moses, and it's very much impossible to obey the intent of the law. But these false teachers are trying to make these Gentile Christians do what they themselves can't do. A little bit hypocritical. Verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like how Paul says it, the Lord Jesus Christ. He just doesn't say Lord or Christ or Jesus. He says the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul would boast in nothing except what Jesus has done on the cross. I wish Christian leaders, especially mega church leaders today, would do the same. I think too many people boast in their ministry, boast in their preaching ability, boast in the size of their congregation, their buildings, and whatever. Paul would never consider doing anything like that. Again, verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul has mentioned being crucified himself a couple of times now. He's already said he's crucified to the law, meaning he's dead to the law. And he's already said he's crucified to his sin, meaning he's dead and separated from his sin. And now he says he's crucified to the world, meaning he's dead and separated to the world, from the world. The world has no effect on the life of Paul. That's something that we really do need to take note of. In my opinion, Christians today, especially Christians in the West, and especially churches in the West, are more affected by the world than we know. We are more affected by worldliness than we can even imagine, and no wonder we are in the shape we are in. We claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but in reality, we follow the world more than we do Jesus. Verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. It's no big deal. Paul says, get circumcised, don't get circumcised. It's no big deal. It only becomes a big deal if you get circumcised for the purpose of salvation. If you get circumcised for any other reason, go ahead. It's no big deal. The real thing that counts is becoming a new creation in Jesus. He's saying something here. Paul and James has no discrepancy between each other. Paul and James both believe that true faith in Jesus, true trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, will produce evidence of a new creation in the believer. If there is no evidence of a new creation in the believer, both Paul and James would question the believer's, or so-called believer's, salvation. We should exhibit some kind of evidence of being a new creature in Jesus after our salvation experience. Doesn't mean we are perfect. It doesn't mean we will not sin. There just needs to be an ongoing in growth in the fact that we are new creatures in Christ. It should be seen in our life. Verse 16, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. What is this rule? Well, in context, this rule must refer to what Paul has just said, which was, there's no difference between being circumcised and uncircumcised. The real difference is exhibiting the fact that you are a new creation in Jesus. And he says, for those, peace and mercy who follow this rule, the rule that we are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And then the next phrase is very controversial. Even to the Israel of God. Now, there's two ways of viewing this. Who is the Israel of God? Many believe it's national Israel. It's the Jews. That even if the Jewish people can accept the fact that it's all about a new creation in Christ and not the law of Moses, then that's the important thing. The other side of the argument is the Israel of God are those believers, whether Jew or Gentiles, who have given themselves to the Lord. I tend to believe at this particular time that the Israel of God here is probably, and it's due to the context, all believers who have given their lives to Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, I'm not really discounting the other, that the Israel of God in this section might be national Israel. But at the moment, I lean towards it being both Jew and Gentile believers. I do hold myself open to the fact that I may be wrong on that point, so that's why I use the words I lean towards that thinking. Verse 17, finally, let no one cause me trouble. Like, I've had so much trouble. Please don't let anybody else cause me trouble on this point. And why does Paul say that? For I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. What marks did Jesus have? Well, the marks in his hands, his feet, ankles, and his side. The marks from the nail prints and the marks from the spear into his side. Paul says he bears similar marks to the marks Jesus himself bore on the cross. If you looked up the Apostle Paul, you would probably see cuts and bruises because he was stoned, he was whipped. He literally was scarred in his body because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, don't give me any trouble. I've had sufficient trouble. Just look at the scars. You've seen them. The false teachers that are trying to persuade you away from Jesus don't have these scars. I do. Judge for yourself who is more committed. The last verse in the book of Galatians says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers, amen. Grace. And remember in the very beginning, we said there's two definitions of grace, unmerited favor, and then the ability that God gives you to do his will. Paul says, grace be to you guys. And I believe you could use both definitions. God have mercy on you because you need it. And God give you the ability to do what is right. And forsake these false teachers. It's a prayer, a heartfelt prayer to the Lord for these Galatians. He says, grace and grace be in with your spirit. Paul is using the word spirit here in a different way that he has used prior. Before this, it's been the Holy Spirit. Now it is the spirit of the individual Christian, who has been made alive by the Holy Spirit. And he says, grace be to your spirit, because he knows if your spirit receives grace, that grace can be and should be worked out to every aspect of who you are. And then he still calls them brothers. For one last time, he still calls them brothers. He hasn't given up on them yet. And then he says, amen, so be it. Let it be as I have prayed. For more information, look at my Galatians commentary at stevesweetman.com, and I will conclude in the next section with my personal conclusions.